Now at 7, WREL is staying on top of several important school stories. First, what we've learned about a toy gun and a real loaded gun found at two different Wake County schools that prompted lockdowns. Then, a new report shows fewer college students want to become teachers. How that could change who is teaching your child in the classroom. And the push for unarmed first responders citywide in Durham.
Get ready for wave after wave of wet weather. See the newest timing for when the rain starts, when it's the heaviest, and when we're in the clear.
Here's some advice for you. Keep your umbrella handy. More rain is in the forecast. Good evening. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Kat, how much longer can we expect this soggy weather to stick around?
Well, we've got waves of rain in the forecast throughout the day tomorrow, but it begins to move out Friday morning, and then we finally have some sunshine returning in about 30 to 40 hours from now. But looking at the rain, we are going to see spotty showers moving in overnight into tomorrow. This system will be in different form compared to what it's brought to areas just to our southwest. This evening, about a 20% chance of a sprinkle through midnight. But as we get past midnight, we begin to see the rain moving in. It's scattered showers very early tomorrow morning. And worth a mention that our friends in Southern Virginia, including Mecklenburg County, could see a stray time period in an hour or so where there is the potential for some sleet to mix in, perhaps a wet snowflake. That's around 5 to 6 a.m., but the surface temperature too warm for anything up there to really have an impact. For us here in North Carolina, it is all rain, and it's scattered throughout the morning. It's not a washout for the morning commute. Lunchtime, some scattered showers around. For the evening commute, though, that's when we begin to see the radar really blossoming with more activity, especially as we head into tomorrow night. I'll have an in-depth look at when the rain finally clears out of here and your weekend forecast coming up.
All right, Kat, see you in a few minutes. Thanks.
We now know the reason for a code red lockdown at Roseville High School this morning. Police and school officials confirm a student had a loaded gun on campus. WRO's Brett Neese joins us live after speaking with worried parents who showed up at the school. Brett?
Gerald, that original alert that went to those parents, it called this a security concern. Parents that showed up during the lockdown tell me they're just glad their kids are safe.
This is the line of cars with parents and grandparents behind the wheel, waiting to pick up their sons and daughters after a code red was called at Roseville High School just before 11 a.m. Some worried the worst may have happened.
To make sure he was safe, you know, because you never know. Nowadays in time, you never know.
Police and school officials confirm a teacher saw a student outside a classroom at 10:47 a.m. That teacher stopped the student and found they had a loaded gun. Nobody was hurt, and the gun was immediately taken away from the student, and the school was placed under lockdown.
I decided to head this direction just to see if there was anything just that I could do, or just to be here in case they had an early dismissal.
The code red was lifted after about 2 hours, and then students were released from class early. Parents I spoke with are just thankful to have their kids back in their arms tonight.
You can't help but think about, you know, is this the next large mass national news shooting? And you never want to have to go through that and be a parent.
Officials tell me that that student who brought the gun has immediately been suspended for 365 days. That's state law when any student brings a gun to school. I'm asking Roseville police whether or not they know why that gun was brought here in the first place. Gerald, I'll keep you updated.
A lot of people want to know the answer to that. Brett Neese live in Roseville. Thank you.
Well, another tense moment at a second Wake County school today. Students at Zebulon Middle School were greeted with extra security. This came after a series of threats targeting those inside the building. Someone posted Zebulon Middle School is next with a picture of weapons and listed names of teachers. Deputies walked the hallways today while some parents pulled their children from school.
I want to make sure they catch the person, and I don't want to have to be worried about my child all day at school. And with police presence and extra security, it's hard for children to even be there, not scared.
Wake County Schools shared detectives are following leads on who is responsible for the threats.
A growing crisis in classrooms across the state, staffing issues. A new report released today shows more than 5,000 teaching positions in North Carolina public schools were unfilled during the first 2 months of the school year. That's a 58% jump from the previous year. WRO's Aaron Thomas is live in Cary to explain what may be contributing to these numbers. Aaron?
Yeah, Gerard, whether it's the largest school system here in the state or neighboring districts, this is certainly a reality impacting many school systems here and the quality of education that students are getting in class. Now, this newly released report comes from the Department of Public Instruction, and it was presented to the State Board of Education today. And it did highlight on several things that we at WREL have been highlighting for months. You're talking about local teachers talking about the increased workload and making up for the slower paced learning during the first year of the COVID pandemic. I've even heard tonight from educators who are leaving the profession altogether for better pay and to avoid what they call censorship in the classroom. The president of the North Carolina Association of Educators says that she and others have been ringing the alarms about these teacher vacancies for months to lawmakers, and this newly released report confirms their concerns.
It is very critical that our lawmakers in the North Carolina General Assembly take this report seriously, or else we will see irreparable harm done to public education in North Carolina, but and ultimately the students of North Carolina.
Be sure to stay with us on our late news beginning at 10 on Fox 50, as well as WREL News at 11. We're going to be having a year-to-year breakdown of these teacher vacancies and hear from a local teacher who says what she would like to see to make sure students receive a quality education in our public school systems. Gerald?
Aaron Thomas live in Cary. Thank you.
Senate leaders are moving quickly on a bill that would limit how teachers can teach about sexual orientation and gender. The bill would outlaw those topics in classroom materials for kindergarten through fourth grade. It would also require teachers to inform parents if their student of any age is questioning or changing their gender or sexual orientation. Today, bill sponsor Senator Amy Gailey accused teachers of shutting out parents and encouraging students to keep secrets. She says parents have a right to know.
Parents do not surrender their children to government schools for indoctrination imposed to the family's values. The government is not a partner in raising our children.
This bill undermines certain children's safety and is ultimately part of a national campaign to erase the existence of LGBT students and adults.
ACLU attorney Ann Webb says children do have constitutional rights to informational privacy, including about their gender or orientation. She said the bill would force teachers to violate those rights. It's expected to pass the Senate on party lines next week.
The funeral service for Tyre Nichols was held today in Memphis. The celebration of life for the 29-year-old lasted just over 2 hours. Reverend Al Sharpton delivered the eulogy. He said Nichols' death was personal. That Nichols died not far from the Lorraine Motel, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. The service wrapped up with reflections from Nichols' family. The situation in Memphis is prompting a group in Durham to renew its call for expanding alternatives. Specifically, they're talking about the unarmed first responders known as HART. WREL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger has their demands.
Some 911 calls in Durham are answered not by red and blue flashing lights, but by social workers in a white van. They're called HART, and today some of their supporters rallied outside City Hall.
We are deep in this fight, and we cannot stop now.
Shanice Hamilton is with the group Durham Beyond Policing.
I'm also a mother of a little black boy. That's why I'm in this fight. He's a major part of my motivation every day.
Since launching in June, HART has responded to more than 3,000 calls for nonviolent issues like trespassing and mental health crises, calls that would previously have gone to police.
When we talk about investments in life-affirming systems, this very program is what we're speaking to.
Right now, HART only operates in part of the city with limited hours. Durham Beyond Policing wants it to be citywide 24/7. So does Councilwoman Javiera Caballero, although she doesn't think that's immediately practical due to staffing and budget.
We want this program to be successful, so we want to be really thoughtful and intentional about how we roll it out.
Even prior to today's rally, council members tell me they were already fully on board with giving more money to HART. By text, Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton told me HART is already funded and operational. Any framing that creates the impression that it is lacking is political posturing.
So more funding for HART does have widespread support on City Council. We should be hearing more about how much more funding this group might get in the coming weeks as the budget cycle really kicks off. Sarah Kruger, WREL News, Durham.
The HEART program keeps track of all the calls it responds to. It shows that its unarmed responders reported feeling safe on 99% of the calls.
Well, less than 4 hours until you have another chance to win a huge Powerball jackpot. It's now up to $653 million. No one has won for 31 straight drawings. The cash prize is $350 million. You can watch the drawing live right here on WRAL right before the 11 o'clock news.
Still ahead in our news at 7, interest rates are going up again. We'll talk live with an economist about what this means for you. Plus, a new rule could save families billions of dollars a year. How credit card companies are exploiting loopholes in late fees and how you can help stop it.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
For the eighth time in a row, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates. It is a quarter of a point increase, the smallest rate hike since March. The central bank is warning more rate hikes are likely necessary to cool inflation even more. Joining us now to better explain what all this means for us, Dr. Ann York. She's the program director and economics professor at Meredith College. Thank you for joining us tonight, Dr. York. Let's go ahead and start with today's interest rate hike. Lower than the previous six increases. Seems like a good sign. What do you think this is going to mean for families?
Hopefully this is the light at the end of the tunnel of interest rate increases. There are more to come, but inflation rates are trending down. We had 9% inflation rates over the summer. Now we're around 6%. So we're on the right track, and we hopefully will see interest rate increases continue to moderate and hopefully stop at some point.
Well, how much of what is happening in the U.S. economy when it comes to inflation is dependent on what we see in other parts of the world, Europe, China? Can we take any signals from what we see overseas?
We can, in particular from China, because they had that zero COVID policy for so long, and now that they have relaxed it, it'll be interesting to see what happens due to that. One fact could be more inflationary. They're consumers are going to be spending more than they had been when they were locked down. And that increase in global demand for goods and services could have an inflationary impact. However, hopefully any supply chain bottlenecks that have been coming from China and Asia will moderate, since that is where we get a lot of our goods. And if the supply chain bottlenecks moderate, then that will help our inflation rate. And hopefully that will outweigh any effect from the Chinese consumers spending more money now.
You know, the Fed chair said today it doesn't seem like they are going to be cutting interest rates anytime soon, certainly in 2023. How many more interest rate hikes, though, do you think we can expect?
Well, not even the Fed knows how many more interest rate hikes that they will have. But the fact that they've gone from 75 basis points to 50 to now 25, hopefully they are feeling more confident about bringing down the inflation rate. And anytime there's going to be a meeting of the Fed this year, there probably will be an interest rate increase, but a lower increase than they did last year.
Let's talk about the job market, because obviously the Fed is watching the job market very, very closely when it comes to tracking inflation. So what kind of economic conditions do we need to see to be able to kind of even us out and get us to a point where inflation isn't so bad and they can stop doing all these big rate increases?
One problem we have had in our economy is that the labor force participation rate has not returned to where it was pre-COVID. There are a variety of reasons for that, but that means that our labor supply is lower than it has been. And if we can increase labor supply, that will have a moderating effect on wage increases and a moderating effect then on businesses needing to raise prices to try to find workers and attract workers. I'm not sure what it will take, because it seems like our economy has gone through a lot of damage from COVID, and many people have many reasons for why they are out of the labor market. So there won't be one solution to get everybody back into the labor market. But if we could increase the labor supply, that will have a big effect on easing inflation.
Such a balance, and so many factors go into this. Dr. Ann York with Meredith College, thanks so much for your time tonight.
All right, thank you.
New rules could save $9 billion a year in credit card late fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says credit card companies are exploiting a regulatory loophole to charge illegal junk fees. Five on Your Side has learned they're proposing a cap on late fees at $8. That's significantly lower than the $41 some companies charge. The Bureau will take public comments for the next 2 months before issuing a final ruling. People across the country are getting ready for Super Bowl 57. Crews are closing roads near the stadium in Arizona. Thousands of people will flock to Glendale to watch the Chiefs take on the Eagles. The city is encouraging people to use public transportation to cut down on all the traffic. You can watch Super Bowl 57 Sunday, February 12th at 6:30 on Fox 50.
You know, this weekend might be a good one for a pickup game outside. It looks like the weather is going to be nice as we look live at Zebulon tonight. It's a nice evening, but still very cloudy and more rain on the way. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now from the WREL Severe Weather Center. Kat?
Tomorrow, it'll be a repeat of today, but just more rain on the radar throughout the day with waves of rain. But here's the key. The weekend, we see improvements. Friday, just a small chance for rain in the morning. During the afternoon, should be a pretty nice day outside. If you do want to head out, maybe play some football. And this weekend on Sunday, we do have more clouds rolling back in if you do plan on watching anything inside. Saturday, in between, this is the cold snap of the weekend. Just 40 degrees for the high, but at least that comes with a lot of sunshine. We could start Saturday morning in the teens. Our next weather system that we are tracking, it's all of this activity that's going to be pushing in from the west. Overnight, we'll see those showers filling back in tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. It's not a washout for the morning commute, but a heads up, there could be some showers around the area. And we are expecting temperatures to stay above freezing. It'll be cold, temperatures in the 30s for many of us with the rain, but just above freezing. Can't rule out very, very early tomorrow morning. A little sleet mixing in up in Southern Virginia, but the surface temperatures there remain above freezing. So we're not anticipating any issues there. And in North Carolina here, it's all rain that we see. Just cold rain still in the 30s with rain at lunchtime. 3 o'clock, kids heading home from school, a few showers, but those showers may become more widespread by 5 o'clock for the evening commute, especially from the Triangle South tomorrow. Tomorrow evening into tomorrow night, it looks like Triangle South, including Rocky Mount Point South, would see the bulk of this rain, and these showers likely to stick around overnight into very early Friday morning. Friday morning, I think that we will be dry here in the Triangle, but as we get toward 8 a.m., a few showers still possible in our southern counties. Those quickly clear out, though, and then we gradually see the sun shining throughout the day on Friday behind this system. As for how much rain you could see tomorrow, you can see the difference. The northern part of our viewing area, less in the way of rain, a quarter of an inch to a half an inch, closer to half an inch, potentially an inch and a half in some isolated spots in the southern part of the viewing area. But as you head out the door, don't forget your umbrella. Make sure that your kids have their rain gear as well as they're heading to school in the morning. About a 40% chance for rain at the bus stop in the morning, but as they are heading home, that chance quickly going up. 4 or 5 o'clock, we have about a 70% chance for rain tomorrow, and temperatures hold pretty steady in the upper 30s to lower 40s all day. 41 outside right now in downtown Raleigh. It's a cloudy evening. We're not dealing with rain, about a 20% chance for rain through midnight, but it's once we get past midnight that we would really see rain chances beginning to climb. And tomorrow morning for the commute, there are likely to be some showers around the area. It's cold to start, but join meteorologist Elizabeth Garner starting at 4:30. She'll let you know which areas are seeing rain. It's going to be very hit or miss, the rain early on. I think it would still be light tomorrow morning, but later in the day, we could see some of the heavier rain moving in into the evening and night. Friday, the rain clears out early, and then comes the cold. 19 Saturday morning, 40 the high on Saturday, but it is just a quick cold snap. By Sunday, we're about 12 degrees warmer, more clouds moving in, and then another 10-degree jump by early next week, and we've got 3 days in a row with high temperatures in the 60s, some sunshine. You've got that to look forward to at least tomorrow.
That is going to feel good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just kind of ignore tomorrow.
Saturday morning, too.
Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead, marking a moment in civil rights history. Still ahead, how people at NCA&T University celebrated the anniversary of the Greensboro sit-ins.
You can listen to this newscast as a podcast. The WREL News Daily Podcast features entire newscasts from beginning to end. Morning, noon, and evening are added to the podcast each day. You can find WREL News Daily in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. On this day in 1960, four young black students staged a sit-in at a segregated lunch counter. Little did they know, too, it would spark a movement. We're talking about the Greensboro sit-in at Woolworths. While it's not the first sit-in of the civil rights movement, the nonviolent protest was instrumental in initiating change at cities across the South. Today, the university held the 63rd sit-in anniversary breakfast and wreath-laying.
And Langston Hughes was an inspiration to the A&T4. And so when we think about the ways in which these former SGA presidents were inspired by the A&T4, I want to start by posing a question to you all. What inspires you to continue to positively impact the human condition?
The event's theme is embracing our past, engaging our present, imagining our future.
Some big news at the North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher. Three Asian small clawed otter pups were born this week. Aquarium officials announced the births today. They were born to Leah and Quincy, and they have three other siblings who were born less than a year ago. The new pups are under the care of their parents, along with their older sisters. The otter team will confirm the gender of the pups in the coming days.
That's quite a way to be carried around when you're just so little itty bitty. Well, pretty soon you can tour the Juniper Level Botanic Garden in Raleigh. Today they announced this year's Open Garden Weekends. Isn't it beautiful? Mm-hmm. The first is at the end of this month. You can tour the garden, talk with experts, or even buy a plant. There are 8 Open Garden Weekends throughout the year, 2 for each season.
And in a few minutes, a new Tar Heel Traveler special will air here on WRAL. Scott Mason will show us unique foods made here in North Carolina. He covers everything from sweet to spicy. Watch the Tar Heel Traveler Sweet and Spicy special coming up next on WRAL.
Perfect, right at dinner time. Thanks so much for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 o'clock here on WRAL. Have a great night.
Local news doesn't stop here. Continue watching on all major streaming platforms with the WRAL app.